In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In here in the Gospel of Mark, this last chapter, what a blessing it's been for me. I love the Gospels going through, and to come to this place, like Bill said, of victory. Just so wonderful to see. And we see the ladies coming out early in the morning. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. In very early in the morning, probably as soon as they could get out the door and do it lawfully with the Jewish faith and the Jewish believers there. They come out the first day of the week, the Sunday. They came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And it's wonderful carrying all these spices, pounds and pounds of spices, and then they get closer, and then they realize, well, we brought everything. We've got the spices. We're doing everything lawfully, except we got this big stone in front of the door. And who's going to roll that away? And the picture of it is just so wonderful, because they have this great stone, and there would be a trench dug, and they would just roll this stone over, and it would settle into the trench, and then they would seal it. And that's what the government had done for the Jews, who said that, you know, they might try and come and take it. So they sealed it and put a stamp on it. And so nobody would touch it, except the Lord isn't bound by seals. But the ladies come, and they're carrying all this stuff to anoint him, and just forgetting that there was a stone there. How are we going to get this stone out of the way? An amazing picture as they come, but those that seek him early, they're going to find him. In verse 4, it says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It just wasn't a big stone. It wasn't something that they just slid in and they crawled on their hands and knees and put the body in the tomb and then crawled out and put this little stone over the top. This was a great stone, big, hundreds and hundreds of pounds in this trench. And so it would take a lot of effort to get it out of the way. The Gospels are so clear and so beautiful as you look at them together. It says that there was one angel sitting on the top of the stone after an earthquake happened, and he rolled the stone away. And he's just sitting there, and one angel just, boop. So we know the angels are powerful, and we know the angels are strong. We know the angels have great depth in who they are and what they can do. But here come these ladies, and they see this stone rolled away. And it wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out, like many propose. It was there and rolled away so that we could see that he wasn't there anymore. Because if Jesus can walk through walls into the upper room with the doors locked, we know he can get through anything, that a stone wasn't going to hinder him, that there was nothing there that was going to complicate things. But it was rolled away so that we could see. And we see many people coming as you go through the Gospels and see all the people that come in just to see the empty tomb. We realize it was more for us than it was for him. He was coming out. They were coming in just to see where he was. They still haven't got the whole idea, though, that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, because otherwise they wouldn't come and try and do all these things that were there. And sometimes we try and keep Jesus boxed up and boxed in somewhere so that we can have a greater idea of what's going on in his life, instead of realizing that what he says is real and true, and that he is going to do those things that he said he's going to do. He's promised things, and we claim those promises, and we hold those promises, and we stand on those promises, and we love them because they're good for us, but how about the things of judgment? Because those are just as real as the things that are promised, that we want to have. And so we really need to be careful as we go through these things, not just to stand on the promises, but to realize that the judgments for sin are just as true, and the consequences that are going to happen as people enter into sin are just as true. So they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. Yeah. I mean, you don't go into a grave to see anybody sitting there glowing when you go in. But it's so interesting. The Gospel of John has a great picture. And if you would hold your place here and go to the Gospel of John chapter 20, because we see something here that just adds to what we can have and really encourages us in our walk with him, just to see the completion of things that we've seen before. In John chapter 20, let's pick up at verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she looked, as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, my Savior, my King, the one that I love, and I know not where they have laid him." Just looking to bring a completion to her grief, just looking to take care of the one that she loved, not realizing that he was well taken care of. But it's interesting that here the picture is that there was two angels. Other places say that there was one angel, but only one spoke. And so the others just put in there the one that spoke. But as you look at this, as you put things together, you see one at the head of his the stone that would lay down, and they would put them on the stone wrapped in these spices. You would look and you would see one angel at the head, one angel at the feet. And they were sitting. It's interesting that we see them sitting, because we're going to see Jesus sitting as we get into the book of Acts as we go into it. But he was sitting because his work was finished. The angel's work was finished. Everything was finished. Remember, he said on the cross, "It is finished." And then he gave up the ghost. He took away his own life. But the angels are sitting there. And where else do we see a picture of this? And if you would, in your remembering, go back to the book of Exodus. Because when they built the Ark of the Covenant, you see two angels that were put upon an item called the Ark. These two cherubim, these two angels, and they were both looking down, one from the one end and one from the other end, just like these angels are sitting. And what are they doing? They're looking at the top of the covering of the ark, and that's called the mercy seat. The law is inside, but mercy covers the law. And we see these two angels looking down, and their wings would be touching. And here we see one at the head, one at the foot, just looking at what mercy has done. And to me, it's such a wonderful picture. We see a picture of it in Exodus, and we just bring it through, and we realize God had a plan all the way along of what was going to happen. He knew what was going to take place. And for you and I, it just should be an encouragement that if God goes into all that trouble to just bring about details in encouraging his people, don't you think he wants to encourage you tonight in the mess that you're in the place that you're in the things and the issues of your heart, that he wants to encourage you because he's looking at mercy covering the law? Certainly there's the law and there's consequences to it, but there's mercy that covers it. And thank goodness for that, because without a covering, we would have no hope of getting to heaven. And our covering is the blood that was poured out. And here they are seeing this picture. And it's got to remind them later on, Lord, you had everything taken care of. because they still hadn't put together that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And you can tell because they go and they're looking for a body. And he said, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to be gone. And yet they're still looking, but in the wrong place and for the wrong picture of something. And sometimes we do that with the Lord too, don't we? He tells us something in Scripture, and we get encouraged by it, and we look for it to happen in a certain way. Because again, we're trying to put Jesus in a box, and it's a box that we have in this natural man, because we can't think outside of the box. We have certain places that we go to and certain ideas that we have and certain ways of getting those things accomplished. And he always comes up with another way. And we get surprised by it. But he always meets us in that place of bringing comfort to our hearts, of bringing peace to our lives, of bringing a direction to us where we thought there was no direction, and raising us up to do something when we thought we had no ability to do any of those things. And isn't it wonderful? As he takes us from glory to glory, as he takes us from faith to faith, like Scripture says, isn't it wonderful how he takes us there, how he gets to the depths of our hearts, and he knows what's there, and we don't even know what's there. And he ministers to it while he's speaking to us about those things, the issues of the heart, that we didn't even know were there. And he's already ministering to them and showing us what he's going to do with those things and how he's going to change us and how he's going to encourage us and strengthen us in those things. So Mary and the ladies come. They come. She stoops in. She sees what's going on, and she's flabbergasted. But notice the angels don't say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you remember things? I'm so glad, because that would be a real discouragement for me. I do it enough to myself. I don't need the angels to do it. I don't need the Lord to do that to me. I don't want that to happen. But boy, it should do something in my life that would change my heart so that I don't do it to others. So that I don't look at them like we have at our kids at times and said, haven't you learned yet? Why haven't you learned that this would take place? Why haven't you learned that you aren't supposed to be doing these things? I'm so glad that the Lord brings mercy. We want judgment sometimes, and he brings mercy, and we get upset with it. Can you imagine the disciples with the Apostle Paul when he comes in and he goes, hi guys, I'm an apostle. No, you're a killer of the church. They had to have a hard time because he took people to jail and split families up of people that they knew. And yet God brings mercy upon that whole situation. Can you imagine the depths of the heart that the Lord had to go to with them before they could accept him and then walk with him? Oh, and why would he do any less with you and I? We wouldn't want him to. And so back in Mark here, he says that she entered into the sepulcher. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, white just speaking of purity. And they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. As he looks down at this empty stone, it says with the linens just collapsed and the napkin that was over his face folded. Imagine as Jesus gets up, he folds it. He probably made his bed every morning too, like a good boy, right? And drove his other brothers and sisters crazy. How come he makes his bed and the rest of you don't? He folds his napkin. Taking time for details, taking time to make sure that everything is in place so that they can take note of these things and realize. And can you imagine the Bible study when we get to heaven of why he folded the napkin and just didn't let it collapse like the linen that was surrounding him? I don't know why. I'd like to know, but don't know yet. But my mind's a little wacky anyway. But so the angel says to them, don't be affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Look at the place. And in that word, behold, isn't just take a quick glance, but really gaze upon it and see that he's not here. And why isn't he here? put the whole thing together in your heart and your mind, Mary and the other ladies that have come in, Peter and John, as they would come in and come into the empty tomb. Take a look. Take a good look and gather it. Remember it. Keep it in your mind's eye. Keep it in your heart of those things that are there. And for you and I, we see our loved ones that are buried and we know that they're there, but Jesus isn't there anymore. What's there for our relatives that know him is just a body. It's going to be raised again. That's going to be a great sight. Yahoo, there goes Uncle Frank. Woof. Moving up. But boy, what do we do with those things? How do we hold on to those things? And how can, you know, we sit there and go, well, how can I prove that to people? You can't. Because this is something that can only come to the heart and go into the depths of the heart by faith. This is not something that you can prove to somebody and say, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, how are you going to prove that? You can't. It can't be done without a Holy Spirit coming into a life and bringing belief to that heart. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we know that we're children of God. He confirms to us, it says in Scripture. And how does he confirm it? Because we believe it. Things that we couldn't believe before are so believable now. And yet the world still can't believe it. One day they're going to see him come at his second coming. Not at the rapture. They aren't going to see the rapture. They're just going to see evidence that people aren't there. But at the second coming, it says that every eye is going to see him coming down from heaven to touch on planet Earth. What an entrance. You know, we think that would have been a great entrance for your first coming, Jesus, instead of coming as a baby, you know, and having to be put in swaddling clothes. That would have been a great first coming. He goes, no, I had to come as a babe, but now I'm going to come as a king, and I'm going to rule and reign, and I'm going to rule rightly. And we can't wait for that, but boy, we should cry out for mercy for those that are around us instead of trying to give them judgment. Mm-hmm. And so the angel speaks to them, behold this place, look at this, gaze upon it, put it in your mind's eye, put it in your heart, but now go your way and tell his disciples. And Peter, I love that. Peter, who denied him three times, who said, if everybody else does, I'm going with you, Lord. I'll die with you. I'm going to be right next to you. You don't have to worry about me. The pride of man, it always leads to the fall. And lied three different times to the people that were there inside the temple area. And probably so discouraged. I'm sure the others were discouraged too, but it seems like the Lord knew that Peter's heart was completely discouraged, completely dismayed. And so he says, go tell the other disciples and Peter. Specifically Peter. He doesn't say go tell James and John, but he says just the other disciples and Peter. He needs this special touch. So please go and tell Peter that I was asking about him. That he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, as he had said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher. They just didn't waltz along a little bit, you know, taking mincy steps or anything. They fled. They ran. They dropped what they had, I'm sure, and just ran. Because they carried in stuff that they didn't need, probably just dropped it and left. Because what do we need it for? God's already taken care of it. They fled, for they trembled and were amazed. It may not have been such a fearful trembling. It is just a joyous trembling because they're starting to realize what's going on here. Jesus is no longer here. He's risen from the dead. What does this mean? What does it mean to our lives? What does it mean to our beings? What do we do now? Is he going to be mad at us because we left him and forsook him? Is he going to be upset because we stood afar off? And yet we see the grace and the mercy of God bringing them back in again. And maybe we've done that. We've run away from the Lord and just stayed afar off for a while. But the grace and the mercy of our Lord always wants us to draw us back in. And isn't that what we should be doing with those around us? We don't like your sin. We don't like the things that you're doing. But we love you. And we want to draw you back in. We want to draw you into a place where you can see the risen Christ. We want to draw you into a place where you can see his grace and his mercy for your life. We don't want to judge you. We just know that your lifestyle, the things that you're doing, the things that you're involved in, we just can't. We don't want to. It's not that we can't. We can, can't we? But we don't want to anymore. And isn't it great when you can realize that we don't have to anymore? I remember the first time at Wegmans after I got saved, and the folks started coming up. Well, you going out Friday night? You coming with us? You going out for a few beers? No. Why? Because now you're one of them? Because I already carried my Bible after I got saved. And I said, it isn't that I can't. I just don't want to anymore. And they had no answer for that. You know, what do you do with something like that? And it wasn't my wisdom. It was just what the Lord laid on my heart. Is I don't have to anymore. I don't have to do drugs anymore. I don't have to say those words anymore. I don't have to tell those jokes anymore. Something's different. And I like it. It's better than what it was before. Why would I want to do that? And ruin this relationship that's new. And it's just so sweet when we can come into a place like that and just be amazed at what God is doing. And I'm still amazed at what God is doing in my life. I never thought at this age I'd be doing this. I'm amazed. I thought I'd be sitting in my recliner, just laying back. There's one out here. You know, it's one of those where you got the little buttons and you just, and you go back. And if you're so lazy, like I am sometimes, you hit the other way and it goes, and it pushes you out of the chair so you can get up. It's just like, oh, this is nice, Lord. I could do this for a while. I can sit and look outside the window. I could read. I could just catch up on all those books I've got. And he goes, nah, it's not time for that. I'll read you those books later. It's time to get busy. It's time to do something. I'm just still so amazed that God would do anything like that. I'm even more amazed that I can even do this, because as a kid, I couldn't do this. I remember in Sunday school, you know, they have the Christmas programs, and they got Mary and Joseph and the little baby and maybe a live animal if you were in one of those churches, or maybe just pictures of animals or statues of animals if you didn't have that. And I was a shepherd. I had to wear my bathrobe to church. Give me a little stick. Just stand there and look good. I couldn't do it because I couldn't get in front of people. And I got physically sick. Never went to another play. I can't do one. I'm not doing another one. I couldn't do it. And what does he do? He saves me. And where does he put me? In front of people. Lord, you know I hate this. He goes, I know. It'll keep you humble. This is good. Let it work. I'm still so amazed. I'm so amazed that Jesus loves me and he's continued to love me. And after all these years, after I know him and know his nature a little bit more and his character a little bit more, I'm amazed that he still loves me and still puts up with me, even through some of my shenanigans and some of my entries into sin, that he still loves me and he still forgives me. Because I don't have that for everybody, for every time. But he does, and it just amazes me at the depths of that forgiveness. You know how much you've sinned, and multiply it times every person in the world, and look at the forgiveness that he has for each and every sin. I can't compute that much. In the depths of some of those sins, the awfulness of some of those sins, and yet he has such a heart for us that he forgives us in the midst of it. This truly is a place of victory, like Bill said. It's not only a victory with Jesus, but it's a victory for you and I. You're now victors in Christ, and you have victory over the sin that bothers you. You have victory over those jokes. You have victory over those feelings, those emotions. And one day we're going to have victory over death because of what he's done. I wish it would come today. Rapture sounds really good to me right now, but as long as we're here, we'll keep going. So now when Jesus was risen, verse 9, early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. The one who loved him the most, one who loved him so much, Because remember, other places in Scripture, it says that they love much that have been forgiven much. And those that love little had little forgiven. She had much forgiven, but no more than you and I. And you look and see at the power of Christ, that Satan, even though he sent demons to enter into her and to destroy her, couldn't destroy her because the Lord kept her alive. And then drove those demons out of her. Who's the greater one? Certainly not Satan. He certainly wasn't equal, as some churches believe, that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. He's greater. And aren't you glad that we can know that and we can trust that? And we see a world that's fallen apart and we go, boy, Lord, Satan's really winning a battle. No, he isn't. He's just allowing him to do something. But God is still greater. And always will be greater. We're on the winning side. We're the victors in Christ. And when she went and told them that, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept, they're having trouble here. They're weeping. She's telling them he's alive. He's risen from the dead. And they're having trouble, just like you and I do. They're having trouble computing, how do you put suffering with glory? How do you put suffering with glory? But we kind of see it a little bit in our own lives, don't we? As we suffer through the things of this world and we see God's glory come to the forefront and redeem us from those things. The suffering that we have and yet the glory that we're going to see. The glory that's come because of what Christ has done. Oh, they have the same troubles that you and I have, and yet the Lord works them through those things and brings a completion to those things. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and they wept. There was no rejoicing. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Did you ever hear that God was working and God was moving? And yet you didn't believe it? That can't be. Can't be God that's done that. Can't be God that really did that miracle. It was just a coincidence. There are no coincidences. There's God incidences, but there's no coincidences. Things don't happen just for no reason. God always has those things happen. They still didn't believe. You wonder if Mary, every once in a while, just gave him a shot, you know, like you and I would do. Remember when you didn't believe me? I don't think so. Who knows what happens? She went and told them. They mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and that he'd been seen, they didn't believe. And after that he had appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, these would be the two of the disciples that were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus appears with them. For time's sake, we'll just let it go. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, if you want to look it up. But he appears in another form, it says. It wasn't another form of who he is, but it was another form to them to see him in a different way. Remember Mary, when she looked at Jesus, when he appeared to her, she thought he was a gardener. These two, when they're walking on the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they're just so discouraged, they just left Jerusalem completely. We give up, we're done, we're going to another town. We don't want to be known as the disciples that believed in something that didn't really happen. And they're on their way to a different place. And it says he appeared to them in a different form, in a way that would they would look at him as being a fellow traveler walking along with them. How did he get there? God has his ways, huh? If he can go through walls, he can come to different places and meet with people. And how does he appear to us sometimes? As our healer, as a great physician, as one who can take care of our issues, as a financial advisor? Lord, you can appear to me in any way. Just help me to know you in the midst, that you're the one that does this. You're the one that strengthens me. They walked, and the great part about it is, as soon as they had walked, I'm sure their travels were slow, because they're just so discouraged. When you're discouraged, you don't walk as fast as you are when you're happy. Just walking along, And then they went all the way back from Emmaus, all the way back to Jerusalem. This wasn't just a little walk. This was a few hours just running back. He's alive. We saw him. And just as they sat down, and what did he do? He broke bread with them, it says, and then he was gone. Really? Because then their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. And aren't you glad he opened your eyes to know who he is? Oh, my goodness. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Such a knucklehead. And the Lord redeemed me out of it. And just to see his appearance in my life, to know it was him, just so wonderful. And they went and they told it under the residue. They came back and told it to the disciples. And they still didn't believe him. And we go, well, if I have one instance, I'll believe it. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees just a couple of chapters before? They're walking by the cross and they say, if we see him get down, we'll believe it then. Backwards. We believe, then we see. Believing by faith and walking by faith. And that's what I think he does for Christians. He walks with us for a season, and then he's not as close to us, we think, even though he's always with us. We have to walk by faith. Lord, I'm trusting you that you're going to give me the grace and the comfort to get through this situation that I'm in right now. I trust you that you're going to give me wisdom on what I should do next. Lord, I know that you're going to give me wisdom on how to pray for that person that's speaking to me, and I have no idea what to tell them with the problems that they've got. And he's always so faithful. We just have the problem because we're blocked sometimes. Lord, I don't think you can, so I don't think you're going to give me the wisdom on what to tell them, so I'll just tell them what I tell everybody else. Really? They need a special word, and I got it. Lord, help me to trust you and believe you, to walk by faith. And afterwards, verse 14, he appeared unto the 11. Notice there that it's 11, because we know what's happened to Judas. He's gone out, he's hung himself, the rope is broken. Fallen down, it says in the other places that his bowels have gushed out as he hit the stones. What an awful ending to a life of a person who walked with the Lord for those years but never believed. Oh, and how many do we know that say that they're Christians, say that they're going to church, and yet have no idea who this Jesus is that they're supposedly sitting in church worshiping? Oh, so sad. We don't know the heart of man, but God does. He appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And then he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Wait a second. He just upbraids them for not believing. But what is he doing? He's saying, I'm upbraiding you. I'm chastising you. I'm coming to you and telling you that you should have believed, but I'm not done with you. And so many Christians, when they fail, when they fall into sin, when they enter into places that they shouldn't be entering into, just think, well, God's got to be done with me now because I'm so bad. He probably never wants to see me again in church, never wants me to be around. He goes instantly from there to encouraging them. I got something else for you, by the way. Let's go. So wonderful. So forgiving, so loving. If he can forgive you for your past sin, don't you think he can forgive you for your present sin, if you ask him, and your future sins that you don't even know that you're going to do? I don't know what's in the depths of my heart that I'm going to do later on. I'm hoping there's not much there. Lord, I'm running out of time. You know, help me not to do too many stupid things. Just be with me, Lord. He says, I am. Let's go. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, it says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, telling them, I delivered to you what I've received from the Lord, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And there's the gospel put right out there. And the Lord says to the disciples, this is what I want you to do. Go give the gospel. And just by us saying it, there may not come belief, but what you're doing is planting seeds for those that are around you. And you never know what those seeds are going to bring. I had a guy in here just a couple of weeks ago that came up to me, and he said, you know, you taught a sermon once at one of the other churches that I went to when you were there, and it impacted me so much it changed my life. And I could not remember what he was talking about. You were where? And I did what? And I'm so thankful, because my head would be like this right now, and this wouldn't be a big enough podium. But I'm so thankful. Sometimes the Lord reveals those things to you, and other times he doesn't, because he knows what we need and when we need it. And it's encouraging. We don't know who we're going to impact. I can't wait to see who's in heaven. Really? I talked to you, and you smacked me. I talked to you, and you swore at me. I talked to you about Jesus, and you just rolled your eyes at me and walked away, and there was no way you were ever going to talk to me again. Really? And you're here? And we all have those people in our lives, just by the way that you live, just by your witness. You may not even know that you impacted them at all. That grocery clerk at Wegmans that you smiled at and said, God bless you. Really? That was it? Yeah, because it changed her life. Oh, we don't know, but we live to worship him. We live to give him glory. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we've all seen some of these things go on in our lives. Not all these things have happened to us, but we see in accounts through Scripture that these things happened with the people that were there. And we see that those signs shall follow them, not precede them to show that they are, but they're going to follow them to encourage them to keep going, to keep doing what they're doing. And so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat. And there's that sitting. The work is complete. The work is finished. He sits down. Notice in the temple, there were no chairs for the priests. There were no benches. It's because their work was never finished. But Jesus comes to heaven and sits because his work was finished. The only time we see him stand up, and we're going to see it in the book of Acts in the first few chapters, is when Stephen was martyred. And it says that he stood up to receive him into heaven. Oh, he gets up to receive you into heaven. Is that going to be sweet or what? And not only does he do that, but Zephaniah tells us that then he's going to sing over us. Oh. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The disciples were so pumped that they went out and they preached everywhere. It tells us this in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Oh, his whole life encapsulated in just a couple sentences. And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Notice not on them, in them and through them, but with them. Coming alongside, like it says about the Holy Spirit. He's our paraclete, the one who comes alongside with comfort. He comes along and works with them, confirming the word with signs following. He's the one that brings the signs. He's the one that brings the strength. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that gives us everything that we need. And why are we looking anywhere else? Lord, just let me look on you and know your presence in the midst. What a great book. What a great time. I love doing this, and we'll go to Acts, but we'll be back in the Gospels if the Lord tarries one of these days and go through another one. But just so sweet to have that. I'm just so blessed by what the Lord has done for us. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of prayer and have some fellowship. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this book of Mark, Lord. What a blessing to us as we see those things, as we see those things happen. And amazing to me, Lord, to know that the disciples, the people that were there, the lady that had the issue of blood, the little girl that was died at 12 years old, to see all those things happen, Lord, in real time must have been so amazing to the disciples, to those that were around them, to Lazarus, to Mary, to Martha, even to Pilate and Herod, Lord, as they saw those things take place. The families of these men that walked with Jesus, to see the fruitfulness of that. Jesus' own brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, Lord, that saw what he did, to realize the truth of that and to walk in the truth of that. Father, just so amazing. We're just so thankful, Lord, for your written word. May it change our hearts. May it change our lives. May the words that we read have an impact upon us and just do a work in our lives that would change us for eternity. We love you, Lord. We thank you. May we have a love for your word more and more, that it would just grow on us and grow in us, and that we would just rejoice in the midst of it. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.